Let's speak then to former Manchester United defender John Curtis now on his sort of experience on when he started to when he finished and how maybe that era of football for him changed or didn't change. How are you, John? You all right?
I'm very well, thanks, Jed.
Yeah, great to have you on. So just give us a bit of a brief history then on your footballing career, when it started, when you turned pro, what year and sort of where you were and then when it ended and where you were then.
Yeah, so I turned professional in the mid-90s, made my debut in 97, and then retired, played it for all the levels in England, actually, even in the Conference and League Two, as well as obviously Premier League Championship and League One, and then went to Australia for a final farewell, like many pros do, and played over there and ended up finishing in 2010. So, had a broad spectrum of experiences in that time, and the game has changed no end. I know you guys have been discussing that. Completely different from when I started to when I finished.
So what were those changes then, John?
When I started, I think you were an athlete or a player, and then towards the middle of my career, you were kind of both. You had to be both. And it was getting to the stage, if you weren't an athlete, then you weren't able to compete. Your technical ability wasn't enough to get you through. And then towards the end, when I finished, you've got to be a superb athlete and a player. And when I mean an athlete, I don't mean 6'2" and be able to run the 100 metres in, 9 seconds. I mean just being agile and being strong and wiry and athletic in that sense. Because you've seen today, you've seen at the weekend, that you don't need to be a monster in the modern game as it is now. But you have to have an awful lot of attributes that players didn't have back when I first started.
So is that maybe because a lot of people are talking about the 80s, as in on the field, because of the amount of success in that Liverpool team. And people talk about, and that's what the people talk about when they talk about comparison of fitness and nutrition and stuff like that. And is that what you've seen then? Maybe in the 80s you were players. They were great players. But, in the sort of noughties and now, they're more athletes and players at the same time. So it is hard to compare.
Yeah, I think you have to take everything. I think if you speak about great, talking about Aguero there a minute ago, about he'd be a great player in any team and any generation. And I think, you take a Graham Souness or you take somebody from that Liverpool team, a Kenny Dalglish or somebody like that. Somebody like that, given the training that the players have now, the upbringing in the academies, and having the scientific knowledge as well and the benefit of all that, those players would be players today and they would be high caliber players. I don't think you can argue against that. I think the real difference is in some of those things that I mentioned there, in the technical ability of the players, in the use of science really to maximize the physical and technical training of the players and the tactical side as well. Because you think about how the games are scrutinized by video, and the analysts that the clubs have to go through in every single detail, the opponents, the individual performances, and the feedback that the players are getting, almost instant feedback on how they can improve their performance. They are literally, these GPS and the heart rates, they monitor their load. So it's literally to the point where they're saying, stop, you need to leave the pitch right now or you're going to pull your hamstring. They have got these guys working to the absolute utmost, which is amazing when you think about it.
Is football easier now than it was back in the mid-90s?
Definitely not. Definitely not. These boys today cannot do anything. Back in the 90s, we could sneak out for a cheeky beer. I was even known to have one on a Thursday night, a little bit naughtily.
Bet Fergie loved that.
Cannot. No, that wasn't it then. That was when I was misbehaving in Nottingham somewhere. They can't do anything. Obviously, because of all the social media and stuff, anything like that is going to be publicised. But also because the fact that, every tiny detail now is going to make a difference to their performance on a Saturday afternoon. And the fact that they're not performing at 100% in training on a Friday, whether that be psychologically, because it's not going to be physically exhausting on a Friday, but they have to be 100% concentrated all the time, because there's, like I said, there's so much data on the games out there, and they've got to be aware of it.
Does it surprise you, John, though, because we're getting a lot of texts, a lot of tweets and stuff like that saying about the modern era, and it's the one on the poll that's coming forth about the modern era of the game is the one that's getting least votes for, and people say modern era is boring, it's a lot of diving. Do you understand why people say that, and why people choose, for example, like the 90s and the 80s as the best eras? But I'll tell you what, you played mainly in the noughties, and I'm surprised that hasn't got most votes, because like we had the Invincibles, there was more of a foreign influx and more great players, more money was getting invested, players were getting paid better, and it was starting to change that way. You're surprised that your sort of noughties era isn't up there a bit more?
No, listen, I think it's obvious that people look back with rose-tinted glasses a little bit and think about things, and reminiscing about the past, you always look at it a little bit differently. And I think one of the things that you could argue is the entertainment side of it. I don't think you can argue against the skill. I don't think, if you can take a top team, Brazil 70 team, and play it against, I mean, championship team these days, it's not even going to be in the same league. But I think the entertainment factor, you can argue, was greater in other generations than it is now, believe it or not, even though the skill, the technique is far higher now than it's ever been, and that's just progress, and will continue to get better, and the speed and the athleticism of the game and things like that. But to some extent, does that take away something from the game? You've been talking about tackles and being physical and fighting and strong, and that's going out of the game more and more now with the rule changes and the referees' directives from above. So you could argue it's less entertaining now. I don't think I'd agree with that, but you can make a point for that, I think.
Yeah, there's an interesting message we've had come in from Nigel here. It says, I found football more enjoyable to watch when most teams played 4-4-2 in the 90s and noughties. Nowadays, everyone plays different formations and managers try to complicate the game. Is that also an argument that can be made that managers... I personally think, John, that you now see more teams than ever going out not to lose. Whereas I remember growing up, and maybe, again, slightly rose-tinted spectacles, but it tended to be that most teams would just go out and try and win games back in the 90s.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a difference in formation, certainly a difference in systems of play. I think a bigger argument is to say that the managers these days, certainly the successful ones, come into a club with a clear philosophy on what they want, what they're trying to achieve. And I think if a club wholeheartedly buys into that, like Manchester City have done, like Tottenham have done, I think that's where the success comes. And, after certainly a period of time, then the results come. And then it looks like, they're setting their teams up to win. I think in reality, most managers set themselves up to try and win, but having to resort to plan B very often to try and, stave off attacks and stop poor results, stop a 1-0 turning into a 3-0 or something like that. I think that's a bigger difference. I think that the systems certainly make a difference, and the formations have changed. And with the two holder midfield players, I think the evolution from 4-4-2 into 4-3-3 as it is today more often has been that 4-5-1 that was very negative, wasn't it? And that certainly was very unentertaining. So it may seem that way, yeah.
So, because the other thing is that obviously you, someone who played, as you say, started in the 90s and ended in 2010. And the game, although it not only does it evolve in terms of tactics and that sort of stuff, but also the laws play quite a big part, I think, in terms of how eras and teams and leagues are sort of established and how they're defined. And the two major law changes, in my view, that we've seen since I've been following football, really, are the back pass law back in the early 90s. We'll get onto this in a bit as well, Stuart Weir. The back pass law, which meant that basically teams started to play a bit more football. And then this sort of almost dissolving of tackling that's happened in the latter years. And I suppose, John, the question is really, as a young player, you probably train in a certain way for a certain style and then find you have to evolve over time. That must be, first of all, difficult. And also, maybe not even playing the same game at the end of your career that you were playing when you first started it. And that's got to have challenges as well, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. That is the physicality side of it. The ability to be able to tackle made it much easier, speaking as a defender as well, made it much easier in the early part of my career than it did in the latter part. You know, you couldn't dive in, you were at risk of giving dangerous free kicks that people are likely to whip into dangerous areas or even score from, penalties, of course. So, yeah, that makes life a lot more difficult. You know, you mentioned the back pass rule. It's only really now that teams and managers and coaches are actually coming to terms with it and creating goalkeepers that are absolutely superb with their feet, arguably better than, you know, some of the players in some cases, you know.
It's another point as well that defenders, as you say, you know, used to have proper defenders. I remember, obviously, for me, Tony Adams was probably one of the all-time great defenders of my era, especially. Yep. We've had some great ones in the past as well. But as you say, John, you were a defender. They were proper defenders. Now, would you say you'd have to be, you know, when you were being brought up in, say, in this day and age, and I know you're a coach out in the States, are you trying to bring up defenders to be, you know, as good as, you know, attacking midfielders with the ball, control, passing, vision, things like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to be able to play. You've seen that with, like, Adams and Bold and Dixon and Winterburn, that famous Arsenal back four. You wouldn't call Tony Adams the best player on the ball. You know, in comparison to John Stones, it'd be terrible. But he had character traits that were different to a John Stones. If you were going to go to war, you'd rather have Tony Adams with you than John Stones, I think.
Yeah.
But the game is no longer that war environment that it once was. You know, it's not about that now. It's about players who can play, and you're right. All 11 players, including the goalkeeper now, are technically superb. They can all pass, manipulate the ball, pass the ball with multiple surfaces over long and short distances, you know, with their eyes closed. That's how good they are. I can remember Neil Jusnik brought me over to work with the England under-18s a couple of years ago. I think it was Harry Winks and one or two others who are now playing, Damari Gray, and people like that who are playing in the Premier League now on a regular basis. And when I was watching them training for England under-18s, I was like, wow, these kids are so superior to how I was when I was playing for England under-18s. In the way that they could strike a ball, manipulate the ball, receiving skills. The only argument that you could say that the older players are superior in any way is the psychological front, where I think they're tougher mentally than the players these days. But you know, that might be me looking back with rose-tinted glasses, because psychologists who are working at the clubs these days would probably argue differently. But that's something that I would see. They can be a little bit fragile psychologically.
Yeah, I was going to make that point, actually, about there's a sort of lack of leaders and captains now, isn't there, in this current era? That is one thing that has probably devolved rather than evolved over time. And maybe that's caused by, I don't know, the current generation. It could be something to do with the money in the game. Is that a blight on the current product, do you think, the fact that there aren't as many kind of leader-type figures anymore?
I think so. I think it's a factor that these boys now have to be, you know, fully invested. They can't go for a beer in public. They can't do things that normal kids their age, you know, 21, 22, 23 year olds are doing. They just can't. If they do, they fail. It's as simple as that. It's changed them, and it's made them. Not that they're more elite, but it's kind of made them stranger. It's taken them away from society in some respects, and distanced them from the average man, you know, in the 90s, they were closer to the average bloke. But I think now they're further afield, and that may be some of that is the money and differences in the salaries now. But I think some of it is in the what is actually required to be a professional footballer these days, as opposed to what it was 20 years ago.
And on that then, just two very, very quick final questions. Do you think football's evolved for the better? And if you were picking out of the 80s, 90s, noughties and the current era, which would be your favourite?
Well, I quite like the 90s when you guys were saying the 90s was the toughest era to play in. So I played a little bit in the 90s, so I'll agree with the 90s because you had a bit of both. I'll try and make myself look good.
No, we agree. John, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us as well. Cheers, speak soon. Cheers, pal.